Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci will run first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
Free has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan, broadcasting live from St. Charles Convention Center. It's the site of the golf show, all the latest in technology, great buys. If you love the game of golf and you want to save some money and get some great equipment, come on out. This is our Friday roundtable show, and Andy Strickland and I have just witnessed something just we thought was rather remarkable. Charles Tuna Edwards walk in with a stocking cap and sunglasses. How would you describe it?
Well, I would describe it like he needs some WD-40. I mean, this guy, you ever seen somebody walk with their knees at a 90-degree angle?
I've always walked.
If it sounds like I'm in pain and maybe I'm getting some medical attention during the show, it's because it hurt me more than Charlie to watch Charlie walk inside this building. This was one of the more dramatic entrances we've ever seen in the history of this program.
I can't believe it. I parked next to you.
And Matt Rocchio, how would you describe the walk?
Soulful.
It was a little bit like when Larry Bird's back was broken and kind of the lanky goofiness of Manute Bol kind of thrown in there as well.
But, Charlie, in your defense, you just came from a strenuous workout.
I had treadmill at 9. Bicycle, so I've been doing it for about an hour or so.
Weightlifting, too? Lots of that?
Not yet. I got to start doing that. Went back to my got my yearly physical Tuesday.
The female doctor that finds you attractive? Oh.
Let's hope they can stretch your knees out. Walking straight up with his knees touching the ground.
It was.
I could still outrun you.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah, Don Knotts.
It looked like
Don Knotts.
This was a cornerback, man. This guy could run a little.
I could play both sides of the ball. I could play wide receiver. I could play safety. You could slide me over. I could play corner. You could move me over to the nickel if you needed me to.
You could cover your little son.
I scored a 2-point conversion, had 3 interceptions. I still recall my interception that I had at Ladue High School back in the day when I wasn't playing against Ladue, by the way. For Parkway North.
Playing 4 North as a shutdown corner for the Vikings.
He called it lay down when he was back there.
Shut down.
Who was the coach?
Are
right
you
there,
okay?
Bob Button? Oh, you mean Ed Velton?
Velton.
Oh, he was
my guy.
Great.
That was my guy there.
Keno Laney, Neil Furlong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my
God. Some players,
Had the most unique home.
Ed Velton's?
He used to live
there.
Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
Right there
at Lindbergh. And is that
64 or 40?
Yes. Yep.
Charlie looked like my daughters have those Barbie dolls. He looked like a Barbie doll the way he was walking with his knees kind of like bent at 90 degrees.
Once again, he has no new material.
I paid
Rocchio to get him some new material.
I cannot
believe
it.
Maybe some of these gentlemen in the audience can get him some new stuff.
Andy's opened the show today making fun of Tuna's age and talking about his high school football career.
That's all he got. That's it. That's all he got.
Charlie played flag football era where nobody played flag football.
That's it.
Okay?
And I still would not.
I'm glad you informed us that you've never said that on this show before.
Yeah,
you know,
get him some new stuff.
We're at the Golf Expo. We come here every year. I love being out here. And I've decided, Frank, in fact, I told you this the other day, that I'm taking my golf career, my golf game to the next level starting this spring. And I'm going to carry it on through the summer. I cannot wait to see how it looks at the end of the summer in terms of how much I've improved. These are some serious golfers out here, Charlie. When's the last time you golfed? Now, I would recommend you get a cart, by the way. Don't walk the course.
I don't play any sport where you can't cheer.
Oh, you can cheer.
At the Phoenix Open.
Yeah, that's
Phoenix Open, man. I'm going there next year.
It's got to be one chump sport.
Chuck, you're a car guy. These are some good-looking brand-new
Nice-looking Lincolns. Lincolns, yeah.
Is Lincoln on the way back?
Yeah. On the way back. They're way behind Cadillac, but they're on the way back.
It's on the way back.
Yeah.
They're on the way back. Got some good-looking SUVs.
You ever seen the guy who comes to the Golf Expo wearing golf shoes?
There's a couple here.
Yeah, I haven't seen yet.
You will.
No, you will. Maybe you with will. A golf bag.
Last year we did.
Oh, last year we did for sure. Mm-hmm. With the golf bag, maybe some golf clothes. Yeah. Who's the best dressed golfer right now on
the
circuit?
Greg Norman was the greatest of all time. Then Tiger took that over. Mm-hmm. Now they all dressed unbelievable.
The guy that won the tournament here last year, what's his name? The
big guy. Kepka.
Brooks
Kepka,
pretty
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
He dresses
yeah.
pretty well.
Good looking.
How about him just like
girl,
lifting
too.
Weights?
Yes.
Like the day of a match and stuff. I mean, he was at Lifetime Fitness a couple of days.
Yeah.
Who started all that? Who started all that? Tiger Woods lifting
well,
things?
Let me think here. I mean, he certainly got strong right away. I wonder if there's people
before. We know what Jack did, and we know Arnold didn't lift for one thing.
Yeah, so. And most of those guys were not like fined.
They do testing. They do testing on the tour.
Norman was.
They test.
Boy, that's a great question.
I'd like to implement some testing right now on the PGA Tour.
Roddy, you. That's the only sport they don't do it on, probably.
Yeah. You know, a big thing, too, is just the shirt itself. Now all these guys wear, like, mediums. No, I agree. Tiger's
Schmedium.
A big, strong guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's Mark Wahlberg. But you look at Tiger early in his career. Now, he wasn't as big, but he wore, like, big baggy shirts.
No, that's
and
how,
now they all wear these tight shirts.
Oh, no, you
stuff.
Know, I don't even dress like that. You don't wear the bags anymore. You get them slim.
You got to get them
slim straight.
You got to get them slim. But, you know, Tiger.
But not skinny.
I mean, I don't know what he was doing behind the scenes, but he got big.
Relatively quickly. He was making love. That's what he was doing.
Relatively quickly.
Like that.
Yes, he did. But, you know, he's a he kind of set the trend.
He was making
because
love.
Now every golfer you see that comes on the tour, even if you watch some college golf or whatever, there are more athletes now playing golf than ever.
Yeah.
It is an athlete sport. Didn't used to be.
Except for Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Well, Charles doesn't know how to play golf, man. That's okay.
It's a swing.
You know,
but at
actually,
least he tries.
It's interesting that early in his career, he actually used to break 80, and then
Charles
he got
Barkley?
The, yeah. He was actually okay. You talk to people, no, like Dan Patrick did a thing about it the other day, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden he got that little yip thing where he paused at the top, and now he's the worst
ever. He can't get rid of it,
yeah.
You?
Oh, no. It's
that's stuck.
Yep.
He walks like me.
Who does?
We walk the same. Charles Barkley?
No, you don't.
Yeah, he does.
I want to get a quick thought from you on LeBron. It did not work out with Davis. And I don't blame New Orleans for not trading him. I mean, he signed a contract. He's there for a year and a half. They can't force, you know, the Jazz to trade him. But let me just ask you this. Despite the fact they won this big game last night, heading into that game, they were 10th. And they're basically a 500 team. I wonder just if he's going to be able to make that thing special, or is this going to be like Kobe?
You talking about LeBron?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll make it special, what it is.
But who's going to go there and play?
They had dissension in the locker room the past 2 weeks with all the emergence of a trade, what's going to happen. I didn't think the deal was going to get done anyway. And then AD's father has come in and said he doesn't want to play for Boston. We don't want him. He's my son. He doesn't want to play because the way they did Isaiah Thomas. So I would not be shocked. I'm going to go on another course that if you didn't see Kyrie Irving with the Lakers, I would not be shocked at that at all.
Well, but you just listen Lakers, to the I comments from LeBron right now in terms of how he's talking about Kyrie. He's almost
right.
planting the seed
they're
for that to happen.
Almost planting the seed, and Kyrie made the phone call 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So the things you think will happen won't happen, but I still think Davis will become a Laker. I didn't think it was going to happen this soon, but it does put the pressure now. And Magic Johnson, they say he looks bad. Well, you know, you can't. They don't have much to offer.
I love the way New Orleans is handling this. You
I
know what?
Too.
They are in complete control of the situation. They got a franchise player, one of the top five players in the game, and they know they got to hit a home run on what
and
they
choose to
do. And
that's why you wait
for
Boston
do.
And get Tatum and draft picks.
That's exactly right. So they don't.
Tatum's going to be part of the deal
not,
if that happens.
The last thing they're concerned about is what Anthony Davis' dad thinks, what he's saying. This guy has no rights.
Well,
and they're going to get the best return possible for their franchise. They're not concerned about keeping this kid happy.
Let me tell you something. Mm. Those kind of people listen to their parents. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how old they are.
Oh, you think that the Pelicans are going to move Anthony Davis to a team that his dad wants him to go to?
No. Anthony Davis controls his destiny in somewhat, too.
No, he doesn't.
But don't think
no,
that
not
he won't
he
listen.
Doesn't.
Now
but
he doesn't.
But
he's not a free agent,
something.
Charlie.
I'll tell you right now. On the trade, they will listen to the parents. That's why I used to tell you, used to laugh at Kevin Durant's mom kissing him.
What is he talking about?
I don't think they will. I mean, I don't think.
They're not listening to the parents.
I think the Pelicans will do what's best for that franchise.
They will do what's best.
And if they
but
think
the
it's
Lakers
best to tip Jason Tatum, they'll get Jason Tatum.
Well, I'm
going to
say something, too. The Lakers don't have enough to offer unless they offer two first-round picks, and that's not going to be worth to them. They want to have Ball. They did offer two picks, right? Two first-round picks, Ball, Kuzma.
And Ingram.
And I think Ingram and Kuzma are two rising stars. But can
Ball,
they
Ingram,
put people
Kuzma,
in the,
and Zubac
can they put
the
people in the
building?
Are they marquee players right now? No,
no,
they're not. And that's part of the problem. Yeah. But they're going to wait on Boston.
And it'll be more teams than just Boston and L.A. Somebody else will jump into this as well.
The Knicks are going to still jump in.
I do think they got to get a superstar. And I think Tatum has a chance. Did you see Tatum last night, by the way?
What did he do
last
night?
He was unbelievable. He's 9 of 14 from the field. So efficient. Hit big shots down the stretch. He was terrific.
He hit 25 two nights ago as well, didn't he?
So, you know, even though his shooting percentages are a little bit off, that's okay. His points are up. He's, you know, I think he averaged 14
last year. What's a different team now, somewhat?
Yeah, and Kyrie's taking so many shots. So.
Oh, that Kyrie, I'm going to tell you what. Got the best, next to Allen Iverson, he may have the best crossover I've seen in quite a while.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But don't be shocked if Kyrie Irving winds up a Laker.
All right. Let's don't bury the lead here today.
Thank you. I won't be. I won't be shocked. Go ahead.
The story in St. Louis sports is as we wake up today on February 8th, the Blues are coming off the best single night of the season. If you factor in everything in terms of first shutout ever against Tampa, a Binnington unbelievable. I mean, this team is all of a sudden, and first time all season long they've won four in a row. That was really something special to watch last night.
It was unbelievable. You know, I think they held Tampa Bay to maybe 18, 19 shots on goal after two periods of play.
Wow.
You know, the Blues got off to a great start. They had one of their best periods in a while. I mean, against one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NHL, to come out and play like that in the first period, that gave them some confidence. And you knew that, you know, Tampa Bay was going to have a push. I mean, Tampa Bay, that was not their best game. I will say that about Tampa Bay. That was not their best game. They're going to go back and look at that. They had chances where they could have shot the puck. They didn't shoot. They missed the net from point-blank opportunities. But the Blues did enough to win the game. I mean, they got the goal, obviously,
in the playoffs right
in
now.
Overtime. They're in the playoffs right now.
Yeah. Vancouver and Chicago last night, it was 3-3 late.
Chicago won the game in overtime. Jonathan Toews, a beautiful goal. And here come the Blackhawks as well. They're now 2 points sitting back behind St. Louis. They could come into play here. I really think, and I said this a couple of days ago, maybe it was with Martin, maybe with you last week, that I think five teams from the Central are going to get in. I don't see any of these teams from the Pacific truly being getting into the playoffs. I guess Vancouver could. The Blues actually play Vancouver in the last game of the regular season at home at the Enterprise Center. So that would be unbelievable theater. But I don't see Edmonton, who won last night, doing enough. Anaheim's completely fallen down. Arizona loses last night at home to Columbus. So you look at all these teams right now out of the Pacific, I just think this is a three-horse race, maybe a four-horse race between a bunch of teams in the Central to get to two spots when you include Minnesota. Two games now back-to-back with Nashville coming up this weekend, and that could be a preview of a first-round series if St. Louis can slide up to the third spot and catch Dallas. Oh, yeah, he'll play one of those.
Which one
of those
do you
two.
Think? What makes more sense?
I would think that Jake will play the game on the road. And not the game at home. I just think you got to ride the hot hand right now. What Jordan Binnington has done, the combination of Jordan Binnington and Craig Berube has completely saved this season.
Yeah.
And when I say Craig Berube, I know they got off to maybe a little bit of a slow start. But what he's done is, you know, not every player is equal, but every player is being treated equally. And I think when you have accountability inside your dressing room, I think that is what brings a team together. When every player is being treated the same by the coach, and it's not just the healthy scratches. We've seen guys get, you know, scratched, guys like David Perron and some of these other guys. Joel Levinson has been a healthy scratch. Robert Bortuzzo, different guys have taken their turns. But we don't know what's being said in meetings. We don't know what's being said on the bench in the dressing room. And it's how he says it. He says it in a direct way. He doesn't cross the line. But when every player on the roster knows that everybody's being treated the same, that's what brings a team together. That's when they start playing for one another. And when a coach doesn't do that, that's when the players start looking at the coach as a fraud. And they don't look at Craig Berube as a fraud.
Sounds like what Schulte did with the Cardinals last year.
Mm. You know,
they're taking Robbie Fabry along very slowly.
Well, yeah, I mean, Robbie.
Because I know he's been injured.
Well, he's got to play his way into the lineup. Mm-hmm. And he'll get in this weekend, too, you know, in one of these back-to-back games. He's going to play. But you look at the roster right now, where do you put him in? I mean, they got the young kid McEachran now who has been playing on the fourth line the last handful of games. He isn't getting a ton of ice time, but he's not hurting you either. You know, he's kind of doing what they want him to do. He's getting pucks in, he's getting pucks out, playing a solid, strong, structured game. So, again, the trust is there from the coaching staff, but he's not playing a ton. You look at how Craig Berube is using his roster right now, Frank. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly played over 25 minutes last night. Wow. You know, he's just playing the heck out of his top players, Tarasenko, Shen. And now he's slotting guys where they should be. I mean, Alexander Steen and that line, they're playing 14, 15 minutes a game. They're not getting as much ice time on special teams. They're not on the ice as much in overtime. And he's putting more and more trust and more of the onus on his best players. And I think that's the recipe for getting this team into the playoffs.
What's the stat on Binnington playing 29 games and he could become a free agent?
No, so I've said this over and over. I said it on Twitter when he first came up. If he plays fewer than 28 games, he will be an unrestricted free agent.
And fewer than 28, okay.
Fewer than 28. If he plays 28, then the Blues will... They'll have his rights, and he'll be a restricted free agent.
And he's obviously on pace for that.
And a game played is, you know, 30 minutes is considered a game played. So it's not 30, it's not 28 starts. It's 28 games played. So if he plays 28 games, then he's not going to be a UFA. If he doesn't get to 28, then he's going to be a UFA.
What's he at now? Do you know?
Well, got to look that up. He's at somewhere probably. He's probably at around 11 or 12, maybe 13, 12 or 13. So. You know,
so he's going to make it.
I think he'll get there.
And, well, I wonder if that goes into play here.
Even if he doesn't, I think if things continue the way they has right now, that, you know, I think the Blues are going to make a pretty concerted effort to keep him in the organization. You never know what to expect. This is what I love about pro sports, how guys who you have in the organization, who maybe you don't even believe in, maybe you don't believe that they can get the job done, and all of a sudden you give them an opportunity – and they essentially save the year and save the team. And that's what Jordan Binnington has done for this hockey team. It is not a fluke. This guy, his resume, you go back to when he was in the OHL, when he was the OHL Goaltender of the Year, named the top goaltender at the Memorial Cup, played in the World Juniors representing Canada. You know, they tried to send him to the East Coast League last year, and he said no, and he went home.
Kind of like Jake Allen when
he sat at home for a couple of weeks until they found him a home with a different organization playing for Providence, and all he does is make the American Hockey League all-star team, and then this year he's leading the league in goals against average before he comes up, and now he's getting it done as a 25-year-old. Again, it's not a fluke. He knew he could play. That's why he came up here with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he seemed maybe a little bit angry. You know, see how quiet he is in some of the interviews. This guy was waiting for his opportunity, and I don't even know if he thought he would get it here in St. Louis, but he certainly has taken advantage of it now.
I wonder if there is an equivalent like Cardinal, and this would be a great question.
Why
we got to
bring in the Cardinals?
No,
here.
A Cardinal
you
or,
know it's coming.
Or a Mizzou player, or not a Mizzou player, a Cardinal mm-hmm. or a Ram mm-hmm. or a football Cardinal where they were so like – never like considered the elite prospect, and they finally got their chance. Like, hey, what are we waiting for?
Well, Kurt Warner, how about that?
Kurt Warner.
I'm not going to compare him to Kurt.
Stump
Kurt's
Mitchell.
A Hall of Famer, but
Stump Mitchell.
Yeah, a guy Stump who Mitchell. Was in the background for a while, then finally got his start when
Stump
OJ
Mitchell.
Left.
Right, and he played well when OJ was there, and you knew he had a little coming to him.
Yeah,
you know, Stump would be in that category.
But I mean, Kurt, they didn't know what to expect from Kurt. I guarantee you,
but,
nobody
I mean, it wasn't
in that
a long period
room.
With Kurt. I mean, how long has Binnington been in the organization?
Kurt Warner was in there. It was in the Arena League.
Yeah, how long has Binnington been in the organization?
He was drafted what in 2011, 2010,
like third round of 2011.
Yeah,
so that's a long time. Kurt was in the organization for a year. Yeah, he came up that a cup of coffee the year before. Remember, he actually had a different number.
I wrote a story about Jordan Binnington when he was 17 years old, playing in the OHL Finals. I'll never forget talking to Mark Reeds, who was his head coach at the time, playing in Owen Sound. Mark Reeds, former St. Louis Blue, kept his home here. A couple years ago, passed away from cancer. And one of the best people to come through St. Louis. I got to know Mark real well when I was working with the River Riders back when they played here in the United Hockey League. But he said, hey, listen, you got to do a story on this kid. One of the youngest goaltenders in the OHL to do what he's doing. You don't see too many 16, 17-year-old goaltenders playing this deep into the playoffs and carrying a team to the Memorial Cup. And they were in the OHL final at the time. And ended up doing two stories on him, and the Blues drafted him a few months later, you know. And, you know, they drafted him in the third. When you draft a player in the third round, you hope to develop that player, and you expect that player to be able to develop into an NHL player. And, you know, so they made some trades. You trade Oshie. You bring in Phoenix Copley. This is after Jordan Binnington had won a round in the American Hockey League playing with the Chicago Wolves, and he kept getting pushed to the side. And all the talk, and I bought into it too, the last couple of years has been all about Ville Husso as being the future at the goaltending position. And now we could see a tandem in the future. And I'm not saying now, but in the future of a Binnington and a Ville Husso here in the National Hockey League.
Frank, add Tommy Pham to that list as well.
There's a perfect example. That's the guy. In the organization for a long time. Everybody passing him by. Everybody else getting a chance. Good work, Chuck. It's a reason we pay you good money. Outstanding. All right, we've got to take a short time out. Broadcasting live from the St. Charles Convention Center, site of the St. Louis Golf Expo. This place is packed and rocking. Just like a Maryville basketball game, we're thrilled they're with us on the press box. Mark Stricker, their outstanding coach. Go to maryville.edu. We'll talk about a big Billiken victory when we come back. Maryville sponsors our phone lines, 855-282-8255. But the hottest basketball team in town is the Umsl Tritons. Bob Sundvold, their best beginning since 1971. He's going to join us at 11 o'clock. Martin will join us at 11. We'll take a short time out. We'll be right back.